that shit. Come on with that shit. 2024, motherfuckers. 2024. How about that? Welcome. If you didn't know by that intro, we are the Saturday Night WrestleManiacs. You're aboard the mothership, and it is the 2024, about 20 days into it. And then we finally decided to manifest ourselves so that way we can entertain you, tell you some shit, and do our first pick show going into WrestleMania season. So I am the People's Choice, Don Rodriguez, along with the big guy KG and the newbie in Sumo. So since this is the first time in 2024, we will turn it over to the newbie in Sumo to tell us about what he is the drinking and smoking and wearing and whatever else he plans on doing right this minute.
Good evening, folks. How are we doing now? Happy 2024. I don't know if y'all noticed anything different.
Yeah.
Well, you're older. I got that part.
Oh, you ass. Don't get started already, okay? We only got 45 minutes for you.
Oh, Jesus. I'm on the clock, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're on the clock. What the
network is.
We got a clock going.
Network is so, so much.
Now, of course, you know, this is still January, so you know it's dry January for me. Not doing any cigars or alcohol. Mm-hmm. But come February, I'm going all the way in. Yeah. But I got something for you. So just be on the lookout. Just be aware. Come February, we got something for you. But tonight, the Nubian Sumo will be powered by San Pellegrino, the Limonata. Actually, I got a few of them over here, different flavors, but I'm going to start with this one.
Okay.
These are pretty good. We've never had them, you know.
Sparkling water. I've never heard of it, so what is it?
Yeah, these are real good. These are real, real good. If you go to an Italian restaurant, they're popping these for like $6 a piece.
Oh, God.
That good. That good.
We got time for that. You asking too much.
Exactly. So, as you know, a lot has happened. A lot has happened over the course of the last month or so. We've had Wrestle Kingdom for New Japan. They've already had the New Year's Dash, which is the day after. They had Stardom's last show, which was the day before Wrestle Kingdom. They just this morning had the first of the shows for New Beginning, the New Beginning tour for New Japan. So, and they had Battle of the Valley, which was a show that they had earlier in the month for New Japan Strong. That was at San Jose. So a lot of things have happened. A lot of things are going on right now. I'm going to try to go over these real quickly.
Well, wait a minute. See, that's when you know that a mofo has not done this in some time. You can't start the segment without the god dag on lead in. Now you can start your segment. See how easy that is?
Well, I figured after that half hour intro that we just had, I wouldn't need no anything else. But
hey, man,
appreciate you.
That little bit of video pornography got me all hyped. Messed you up so much you couldn't even get in. You like that shit?
Yeah, it was all right. You
wanted that? Okay. You wanted it? Yeah, you like that leg porn too? I know you was a feet guy, but that's a whole different story.
Right. Yeah.
Got a segment now.
Well.
Was that your Lance Armstrong wristband? What you talking about?
Lance, why not? You know, it's too early to get started.
What? Too they soon. Were blue, weren't they?
Too soon.
How that too soon? Is Lance Armstrong? That was like 40 years ago.
They were yellow.
What? Oh, that's right. Yeah, I guess
it was. Yeah.
What's the blue ribbon in?
Blue ribbon is for that.
Oh, there we go.
First one.
I want to make sure I still got it. Now go ahead to your segment. And then after that, plug black French drink. So, you know, that way we can get a kickback.
So I'm going to do it. I figure the easiest way to do this would be to just go through the titles, see what's going on with the title pictures with New Japan for right now, and then just give you some rundown as far as what's going on story-wise. So we'll start with the Never Open Weight six-man tag team championships. Two major stories out of New Japan about this team of Tomohiro Ishii, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Kazuchika Okada. Kazuchika Okada has announced that his contract with New Japan will be up on January 31st, that he will no longer be a part of New Japan Pro Wrestling. It is said that he is leaning toward TNA, even though he's been talking a lot of junk about TNA and the way that he was treated back when he was on excursion back in like the mid-2000s. The story is now that with the new regime going on in TNA that he has made amends, or they've made amends, and things are real friendly right now. He is supposed to be doing a show in a six-man tag with the Motor City Machine Guns coming up here soon. So we're going to see where he ends up. WWE is looking at him really hard. AEW is looking for him to come through there. So everybody's looking at Okada to show up on their television, hopefully within the next few months. His last show will be February the 23rd. The last show for him will be on the 23rd, which will be a match between him and Hiroshi Tanahashi. There is going to be a six-man tag team championship match for the Never Open Weight six-mans here coming up soon during this New Beginnings tour against TMDK, Shane Haste, Mikey Nichols, and their young boy. We can check out. We can check that out on, I believe it's the 23rd. It'll be sometime within the next few weeks, though. I'll keep you up to date on what's going on with that. The other news coming out of that tag team would be Hiroshi Tanahashi, who has now become the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Really? He will be in a player-coach position, so he will be. Working as president and as a working wrestler, so he will still be in the ring. He is now at this point the current New Japan Pro Wrestling World Television Champion, beating Zack Sabre Jr. during the new Year's Dash. So he is now have a title holder. He will be. There hasn't been any major changes as of yet under his regime. They're talking about making some announcements here soon, but as of right now, everything's pretty much status quo as the way it was. So your New Japan Strong Open Weight Tag Team Champions are Hikaleo and El Fantasmo. They did retain their championships during Wrestle Kingdom, and they also won the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championships against Bushimon.
Really?
So they are double champions right now. They will be defending those belts. They actually defended the strong open weight titles this morning in the New Beginnings show that I talked about earlier, against Chase Owens and Kenta. And then there will be another match in February, I believe February the 11th, where they'll be defending the same two teams will be going after the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Okay.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions are still Francisco Akira and TJP. They wound up winning the titles at Wrestle Kingdom. They're still in the midst of a battle with Bullet Club War Dogs. There is a match that's going to be happening here soon, February the 11th, that I'll be talking about here in a minute. But they'll be involved. They should be, the two of them should be involved in that. But as of right now, they're looking for the newest number one contenders for that title.
AEW hasn't tried to snatch TJ Perkins and bring him over. I mean, he's been killing it in Japan. You would think by now.
I don't know. Maybe because of his contract. I mean, he is under contract with New Japan.
Well, I mean, you know, Forbidden Door and all that stuff. Why would we not, you know, tap TJP?
Maybe they don't have anything storyline wise for him. Maybe his contract won't allow him to come over. I mean, he might be on an exclusive contract.
Maybe you heard something, because I just think it's astounding. You know, he's been in the mix for what, the last 3 or 4 years, heavy over there, just putting in work, man. Awesome matches. But, you know, shoot, Leo Rush is gone and come back. But
and then he also had this gimmick that he almost like a Finn Balor type gimmick that he had during Wrestle Kingdom show. It was very interesting. Nothing that I've seen from him ever. So if you want to go back and check that out, you can do so. TJP is real strong. He's really helping out with the younger talent over there, and he's very valued by New Japan. So I can see where they want to keep him close and keep him exclusive.
Okay. But I was just curious. I mean, throw that out there, but you know, every time I've been thinking about that for a while, I was like, man, I would love to see him back in the States putting in some work. You know, he's grown a lot from 205 Live. And he was one of my favorites when they did the Cruiserweight Classic. So I don't know. Who knows? Anything can happen. It's still early in 2020.
So with something else I'm going to bring up a little bit later, we may see him a little bit more this year, later in the year. So that's something that I'll be bringing up here in a little bit. As far as women are concerned, like I said, there was a Stardom show that was on January the 3rd, where Mayu Iwatani successfully defended the IWGP Women's World Championship, as well as Julia, who defended the Strong Women's Championship. Julia is now also on the end of her contract with New Japan and Stardom. She is being looked at very heavily by WWE, and it looks like that's where she's headed. She to put her in the mix with Damage Control.
Oh yeah.
After they do with Bayley, would be dangerous. That would be something else right there. I'm not expecting it to happen because it's low hanging fruit. It's too easy to do. it would be nice to see though.
They could do a Damage Control extension in NXT. Because I think she would be great. They haven't had somebody, you know, since Asuka at that level that could really walk into the NXT locker room and dominate. So if we had Damage Control crossing both brands, I think that'd be a smart play. So you have Damage Control on Monday and then Damage Control on Tuesday. And then they can, you know, cross-pollinate. I think that'd be a smart idea. Kind of with just different versions of the faction.
If Kabuki Warriors get a hold of the tag titles, then yeah, that could definitely work. You know, have Julia come over, get the women's championship. You know, have Kabuki Warriors coming back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be interesting to do. That'd be interesting to see. So also you got Eddie Kingston, who retained his championship, the strong openweight championship, along with the Ring of Honor and the Continental Championship during Wrestle Kingdom. So congratulations to him on his Triple Crown Championship.
Were you happy with that? Not to keep jumping all up in your business, but they basically built a whole entire tournament
around
him. Which is the T word, around, you know, Eddie Kingston.
Right. Yeah. I don't mind that. I don't mind them doing that. I mean, I'm thinking that they're doing this because he's such a good piece of their puzzle. He's such an integral piece of their puzzle. And he may be on the verge of the end of his career. And then they're not doing anything with the Ring of Honor title. Right. Not really. I mean, it's a world title that they're not doing anything with. I mean, it's just a strap at this point. And the New Japan Strong title has a little bit more weight. But just to add to that with that Continental belt and make it a Triple Crown, that way he can say that he was a Triple Crown champion, just like all of his idols over in All Japan and whatnot. So, you know, I figured this was a bone they threw him. You know, I don't mind it at all. You know, I remember seeing Eddie Kingston back when he was in Chikara, you know, doing his thing in Chikara as Chikara champion. So, you know, I could appreciate Tony Khan doing that for him, you know, and we're going to just see where it's going to lead. I'm just curious as to how they're going to treat the actual championship. Are they eventually going to have the belts defended separately? Is it always going to be all three up together? Can the Continental Championship be defended on its own? Right. Because when they first put the tournament together, they said that the Continental Championship would be something that would be a yearly thing. Right. That he would be Continental Champion until the next term. So we'll just have to see how that goes. You know, stuff switches up all the time. And I just want them to get the Ring of Honor belt back in circulation some kind of way to have to defend the Ring of Honor title, because to have a world title like that not being defended is just – it's a travesty. It's a shame.
Yeah. See, to close the whole thing down or make something out of it. But, you know, Tony Khan's got bigger fish to fry. I just hope that there's an end game, because it's one thing. Okay, we gave you a Triple Crown champion and you beat, you know, so some heavy hitters, Mox, Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, you know, and a bunch of others leading up to that. But what's the next step payoff? And that's my only concern, is there's no next step payoff to give. We're going to WrestleMania season. That should be something large that, you know, Eddie Kingston is marching towards, or somebody's chasing him for it, to really build that up and make it a marquee something on Dynamite and not just something that happens on a Collision or a Rampage. That's my only thing. I'm happy that he got it. Happy that he, you know, retained, went through that whole gauntlet and everything, but I just want some payoff beyond that, some actual storytelling and something, you know, like he should be going up against the House of Black. That'd be interesting. Or, you know, Switchblade could maybe go after him or something. I don't know. But somebody that can go back and forth, work, you know, the Japanese program and then come back over. Or maybe the Murder Hawk. He's not doing anything right now. So, you know, got to put him back into the mix. So. Just thoughts, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm all up in your Nubians.
Well, next up is for the Never Open Weight Championship. Tama Tonga wound up winning the belt Wrestle Kingdom. After Wrestle Kingdom, he made the announcement that this would be the last month of his wrestling career in New Japan.
Oh,
okay. He stated that he went through his younger life with his father, Kaku, being a wrestler, and saw how he was never home and how his family was during that time, and he didn't want to put himself or his family in that same situation. So he has decided to get out of wrestling and to come back to the States and be with his family. That doesn't mean that he won't end up somewhere in the United States wrestling, or just maybe have a brief respite and then come back and see what happens with that. But as of the end of this month, he will be out of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he did drop the belt this morning during the New Beginnings show to Evil. Mm. So Evil is now your Never Open Weight champion at this point. Now, during Wrestle Kingdom, there was a three-way match between Jon Moxley, David Finlay, and Will Ospreay to determine the new New Japan Pro Wrestling IWGP Global Champion. Now, this is the belt that's supposed to take the place of the United States / UK championship that was held by Will Ospreay that got destroyed by David Finlay.
Okay.
And, the winner ended up being David Finlay. So David Finlay is now your global champion. And during the New Year's Dash, after a match that was had, it was a 10-man match between the Bullet Club War Dogs and the United Empire. After that match, or during that, before that match, I should say, let me go back. Before that match, you had an appearance by the Nemeth brothers, Nick and his brother. I can't remember. What's his brother's name?
Ryan.
Nick and Ryan. They both showed up at ringside for that match. After the match,
well, tell me the importance of who Nick is. Just, for those that may not know Ryan, that maybe, okay, I can get it. But Nick, everybody should know.
Nick Nemeth is the former Dolph Ziggler from WWE.
Who is now available to take bookings and do everything else. His non-compete is done.
So he showed up after the match was over, David Finlay got in his face. They had a back and forth, and they had some pushing around. Nemeth wound up getting backstage during Finley's backstage promo, and wound up doing a jump. Have you seen the meme? Have you seen the video of the dude in court jumping over the? He did that at the press conference. He jumped over the table and jumped on top. He caught some pretty good air on that. But they're starting to work that in. So and now, which is also interesting, that Nemeth is now been announced that he is signed with TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Made an appearance during the Hard to Kill pay-per-view last weekend and said that he was TNA, and he was on the Thursday show cutting his first promo. So a relationship between TNA and New Japan.
Like this.
TNA is starting to make a lot of moves, with them going back to TNA from being Impact, and all the changing of the belts and everything. They've already changed all the belts over, and
but they're not doing the most important thing. You can't go with the TNA name and not do the six-sided ring.
That I don't agree with.
At this moment, we're Hogan TNA.
They don't need to. We don't need to do six-sided ring. We don't need to do six-sided ring.
That's part of the TNA.
Every wrestler that wrestled in that ring said that they didn't like it. It was dangerous, and how dangerous it was, and how it just didn't feel right wrestling in the six-sided ring. You know, that's more AAA than it is TNA.
What about in the middle ground? Why not make that an annual thing, like Destination X and stuff like that? You know, where the ring comes back for that one time.
Well, they could do that.
Something. You can't go nostalgic, but not go all the way.
They can do that. They can still do that. I mean,
I'll be okay with that.
Just like at Hard to Kill, one of the first matches they had on the Hard to Kill pay per view was Ultimate X. Right. You can't have TNA without Ultimate X. I mean, that's one of their mainstays. You know, I'm sure at some point they're gonna bring back King of the Mountain.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna bring back King. I'm sure they'll bring back King of the Mountain or Monsters Ball. Monsters Ball is one of their staples.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're gonna bring back all of that. You know, so it's just a matter of time before you know they may decide to do that. You know, like a hardcore pay per view, and they decide to bring back the six sides.
Yeah, I would do it in May. That way, you could capitalize on a WrestleMania experience. You know, people are still riding the wrestling wave, and you promote it through the month of February, and then you know really drive it up in March. Mania happens, boom, you have your pay-per-view. You don't want to compete with it, but if you come after it, you know, you can really leverage that and put that out there. That's just my two cents on the TNA thing. I just had to get that out.
And since we're still on the TNA thing, might as well go ahead and mention that Trinity has wrestled her last match in TNA.
No disrespect to TNA, but
the Hard to Kill pay-per-view. She did drop the Knockout Women's Championship to Jordynne Grace and did make the announcement after this match that she would be leaving TNA and she is expected to come back to WWE.
To join the Bloodline.
So best of luck to her. You know, she did have a nice run in TNA. I'd like to see her wrestle a few other people. You know, especially to see Mercedes Monet come in.
She wrestled who she needed to wrestle.
She needed, but I'd like to have seen her, you know, with a few other people, but you know, but she, like I said, she had a really good run with them, and you know, we'll see what we'll see what happens with her in WWE.
Yep.
Now, going back to the global championship, you got Will Ospreay will be leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling also. Mm-hmm. His contract is almost up with New Japan. His last show will be on February the 11th in a 10-man match, United Empire versus the Bullet Club War Dogs, and it will be a cage match.
Mm.
The first time in 20 years that New Japan Wrestling has had a cage match, and this will be the first time ever that they will have an audience in attendance for a cage match.
That's
because they've always played it like a cage match was so dangerous that they didn't want to put the general public in danger of being around this match. So this will be the first time a cage match will have had public attendance while it's happening.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see. Now, we all know Will Ospreay has signed with AEW. It's not an exclusive contract, so he will be coming in and out of New Japan. AEW also will be having John Moxley, Brian Danielson. As a matter of fact, all of the Blackpool Combat Club will be coming in and out of New Japan over the course of the next year. Mm-hmm. And they've also added, because of that, they've added a female to the group. That female being Marina Shafir.
And rightfully so.
So she will be making some trips over to Japan as well. So we'll be looking forward to seeing her probably in Stardom, maybe in Joshi Pro Wrestling. We'll have to see where she ends up as far as and I mean she may be even going after the IWGP Women's Championship. So we'll see. I mean you got WWE sending Charlie Dempsey over to DDT for that title as recently. So we'll just have to see how it goes with that. Next up will be the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Hiromu Takahashi coming in to Wrestle Kingdom as champion, going up against El Desperado. And you have a new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion in El Desperado. He will be defending that belt here soon over the course of the New Japan, of the New Beginnings Tour that they're having. I'll keep you up to date on who the next contender will be. And last but not least, your IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Sonata, wound up in the main event against the G1 Climax winner, Tetsuya Naito, for the title. And your winner and new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion from Los Ingobernables de Japón, Tetsuya Naito.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Much appreciated.
So it was a great Wrestle Kingdom. It was an even better, in my opinion, New Year's Dash. The show that they had this morning was really good as far as setting up for what they plan on doing over the next few weeks leading up to the 11th for the big show that they're going to have. There is another show that's going to be in Chicago for New Japan Strong that is going to feature, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to feature Daniel Bryan versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Okay.
And there's going to be a lot of different, there's going to be some title defenses in that match, in that card as well. So I'll keep you up to date on that the next time we have That's So Nubian. I think I've covered everybody that I need to cover at this point. Any questions, comments, corrections?
You didn't cover one appearance into the TNA land. It's a female, former WWE talent, who, in my opinion, is doing a somebody else's gimmick, Ash by Elegance.
Would you be speaking of Miss Dana Brooke?
Yep. I think she's more so trying to do Toni Storm in color at this moment than anything. So what I'd want to know what your thoughts are on Miss Dana Brooke and this new gimmick. Just this
I have to see it first. I'm not sure I mean, and from what it's looking like, it is looking like she is trying to, she is emulating Timeless Toni Storm a little bit, but we haven't heard her speak yet. No, so we don't know what she's dealing with as far as her gimmick is concerned, or how she's gonna, in what direction she's going with her gimmick. But then again, AEW has Myra May.
Yeah.
And she's, and as far as I'm concerned, she's a Tiffany Stratton knockoff. Now, Myra May comes from Stardom, and that's pretty much her thing, her gimmick in Stardom. But to bring it over is too much like Tiffany Stratton for me. But you know, it's, but you know, you're gonna, I guess you're gonna get some of these gimmicks that cross over, and we'll just have to see what direction they see, they go in.
I think that Dana Brooke could have done something different, though. If I had No. I would have given her, I still think the two-face gimmick would have been great. I'd have put her in a mask or some prosthetic or something like that. And then in the first match, she peels it off to reveal, not scars, but, you know, face paint or something. You know, one half painted, the other not. Something totally different than, you know, being a blonde female wrestler, because that's what she was in WWE. She
just had her makeup done. You just described Rosemary.
Well, Rosemary's gone through some transition. I agree with that. But if you do it the right way and the promos are the right way, Rosemary was, you know, 100% one way, 100% the other way. But, you know, like I said, if you're rocking a two-face thing and she's cutting promos from left to right and you're really curating it in that fashion, it could be done well and it would not be Rosemary-esque if the promo is cut, you know, well. You know, you could even have her, you know, insult the crowd on one side and then turn to the right and then that's the face side and then, you know, she's over there trying to get cheap pops. You could do all kind of crazy stuff just to make it make sense but not make sense. So that way, you know, she could be wrestling one way on the right-hand side, but when she turns to the left, now she's a heel, and, you know, she's doing heelers. You know, you could do so many different things with that gimmick, but, you know, just, you know, the Glamazon, basically, without the Zon, I don't know. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, really? That's what you got out of this, Dana Brooke? All that WWE time, that's what you pick? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, you just looking for stuff now. That's why I said she comes in on herself and then she develops into something, just like Toni Storm did. Toni Storm came in as herself, and then all of a sudden now she's Timeless Toni Storm. You know, so I mean, we'll have to see where it goes.
Yeah,
but speaking of where it's going, it's going to February. And February is Black History Month. And what better way to celebrate Black History Month?
I see this. Get him.
Black-owned business.
Yes, that's French.
And a black-owned business is what we got for you with Fort Most Whiskey. Fort Most Whiskey is a black-owned business out of Florida that does a wonderful whiskey, and we've heard a lot about it, and we appreciate them for allowing us to be their ambassadors and pushing their product forward. And we have right now, scroll across the bottom, anybody that wants to try out their whiskey, they have a whiskey, a rye whiskey, and a rum. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're talking about doing something special for Black History Month. So you might want to go on the website, check it out. Free shipping after $150 purchase. And then also you can use the promo code that we have down at the bottom to get an extra 10% off. So that's www.buyfortmost.com/discount/maniacs. and go ahead and get you something new for Black History Month.
That's right. Sport of Black. I hope you get real nice in 2024. Just be very safe and respectful and don't drink and drive. But if you sit on your couch, get pass out drunk. We talking about get Jersey Shore drunk on this Black French we got scrolling across the ticket right up in here. Like, you need to get Nubian Sumo drunk.
No, don't get that drunk.
No, no.
Don't get that drunk.
We'll stay Jersey Shore drunk. Just black out, pass out. You know what I'm saying? Get you a nice big situation. Hopefully one that some penicillin or something like that can cure. That's what you want to get from some Black French, that Fort Most, thanks to our discount code. And while we plugging stuff, at one point it was called Twitter. You know, I still like the tweets. The X's, you know, I think we ripping off the Malcolm. He ain't getting his check. You know, shoot, even, you know, I'm going to wear a koofy or something. You know, can't do none of that stuff, you know, with it being called X. So I don't even know what the hell that means. But last week, we were leading into a major situation that unfortunately kind of should have went one way. And as things happen, went another way that kind of is putting everything else in jeopardy. But we saw two things come out of a nice little comment and situation from my boy, Tony Khan. It was revolving around Hook having an opportunity that he got a chance to go up against Samoa Joe this week. But as he was hyping that up, he was also discussing how he was wondering why people were bagging on Hook versus Samoa Joe. And they were acceptant of Jinder Mahal versus Seth Rollins, which ignited, you know, a Twitter beef. Jinder's like, who the hell was Hook? And, you know, then Tony Khan went into his natural just lost mind of just tweeting. In the meantime, the irony is Tony and his Twitter rants gained more daggone exposure for a WWE match than it did his own match. The downfall is, as I was leading up to, is unfortunately Seth Rollins got injured from the Jinder Mahal match. He could come back by WrestleMania, and he may not. They're still working that out. We'll find out officially on Monday. So Seth retained, which everybody watched to the end just to see what would happen. And if Jinder would, you know, get the nod and win the belt. And then with Damian Priest out, Damian Priest cashes in. You know, if nothing else, Jinder would have won. So shocked the world. Damian would have took the belt. And then that would give Seth Rollins something to chase at the Rumble, and he would just win it back. That was a strong possibility. But Seth retained, got injured. So now we don't know what's going to happen with Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. So now it's like, well, dang. Should have put the belt on Jinder Mahal. On the other side of the coin, we knew what was expected from Samoa Joe versus Hook. Hook was going to get an education. He was going to get some exposure and an opportunity to learn from arguably one of the best in the business, guaranteed Hall of Famer, period, dot, and two businesses for sure, TNA as well as WWE. So Hook didn't win. So we got bittersweet out of all this. But at the end of the day, Tony Khan needs to keep his butt off of Twitter because it's not good. We've never seen Vince McMahon hype up something. He only went into the public eye when he was fighting the government and the USA Network. Other than that, didn't really see too much from Vince outside of his gimmick. So my question to you guys is, what the heck does Tony need to do? Does he need to get somebody else to tweet for him? At least it'll be a little bit more sane, or just let it be, and he can just be the Trump of the wrestling universe when it comes down to just tweeting random things.
We haven't heard from KG at all, so KG, go ahead and start.
I've been sitting back listening and just gathering up information here, but you want to know what to do with Tony. Take his Twitter account from him. Because, like, you're tweeting nonsense, and you're making your product look bad. But it's one thing to tweet things and, you know, you get a little heat. But, yeah, you're making it look really, really bad. Like, you know, if y'all ever seen the meme, the Marge and Lisa meme, where Lisa's sitting at the computer and she looking up at Marge, and Marge got the hand on her shoulder, and everybody be like, yeah, I'm just going to need you to clock out for me. That's what somebody need to do to Tony Khan. Just walk up, put the hand, I'm going to need you to go ahead and clock out for me.
Yep.
But this isn't the first time. This is like maybe 10th or 12th time he's done this in less than a year. Bro, stop.
Triple H don't tweet like this.
Triple H tweets
once in a while.
Once in a while. But when he tweets, it's something of substance. Like him inviting Shannon Sharp onto WWE Network programming is great. That was a great gesture. You don't see much from Vince. You don't see much from Stephanie. But what heads of
companies? Nothing from Shane. Nothing from Shane.
Yeah, nothing from Shane.
You. What heads of companies in the sports entertainment world do you see tweet like Tony Khan?
Tony Khan.
It's only one person that you see that's in a position of power that tweets like that, and they look like a madman. And you already know who it is. I don't have to say it. But here's the thing.
The guy that runs Twitter?
Well, okay, it's two of them then. Because one of them used to run the country. I'll give you this John Thompson quote. And I'll give it to you, Nubian Sumo. I'd rather be thought of as a fool than open my mouth and then it be already proven that I am. So I'd rather you think me as a fool and I shut up. Just hey, if that's you want to think, I'll be a fool. But when I open my mouth and I prove your point, you win. Tony Khan needs to learn how to shut his mouth because everybody's going to think you're a fool. Great, be a businessman, be a millionaire. Do your thing. Work off of daddy's money and make more. Okay, but when you open your mouth, you erase all doubt. Nubian Sumo?
Is this any different from when Bischoff used to announce what was happening on Raw, tape Raws, back on Nitro?
Yes.
Yes, way different.
Because it had a purpose.
Why? Because it's well, that had a purpose. When they made it, when Bischoff had Schiavone make the announcement that Mick Foley was going to win the WWF title, yeah, that's going to get
some seats.
That'll put some butts in the seats.
But it was intentional with a desired outcome. Tony's problem is his Twitter rants come out of nowhere. This fool is dropping a Twitter rant like Sting. You know, he just dropped from the rafters. Like, what the heck, Tony? What are you talking about? And why are you in this? How is this just manifest? He brought this whole thing up about, well, why y'all, you know, accepting of gender and hating on Hook? Like, fool, why are you worried about what they doing instead of your product?
My thing is, why is Tony Khan hating on Hook? Because you see what happened. At the end of that, his own guy with Hangman Adam Page and Swerve and who else? Who's the other one? Oh, it's just Samoa Joe at the end of the match.
Yep.
He just buried his own guy who just put up 10 minutes of a great match.
At that young age, learning.
And then at the very end, go give him and Hook kind of waves him off like, you know, what do you want? Leave me alone. He just buried me. I'm, you know. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, he's burying his own guy. What is he talking about burying somebody else?
Tony Khan is going to gas out. I mean, I wish I could say his long-term booking would suffer, but it's really non-existent at this point because all of his plans, he had to pivot and change. when Punk left. So now he's like, oh crap, what else can I do? And then trying to put those pieces of the puzzle together, he's just throwing stuff up against the wall and trying to make it work. And oh wait, I know what I'll do. I'll bring somebody else in from WWE just to slide that person in, or from New Japan or wherever, just to try to mask everything else. And then make sure that we gloss over any kind of issues with Chris Jericho and was it Cora Jade? I think is her name or something, with this whole Jericho
Anna Jay.
My room. Anna Jay, yeah. Come up to my room thing.
Oh no. Anna Jay was Kylie Rae.
Kylie Rae, yeah. So Kylie Rae. You know, he could focus and hone in on that because we don't want to ruin Judas. But we can't figure everything else out to make sure that, you know, we put on a good finish and a good show. I'll say this, and we'll wrap up, you know, just a conversation on TK and the X. If this was, you know, what, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and Twitter existed, we're not even going to say X, but Twitter existed, I can tell you this, Ted Turner would not be sending out tweets.
I think he would.
No.
I think he would.
Ted Turner would not be out there.
Wasn't him if somebody representing him. But
he didn't send out emails. He just called up Vince and say he called Vince.
He'd be sending out tweets like Iron Sheik used to.
No, he wouldn't. He played a different game. I'll give you 5 minutes of airtime. I'll give you 10 minutes early. I'll give you this, I'll give you that. But at least he said, ring, Vince, I'm in the wrestling business. He called the man. He ain't tweet him. He ain't say nothing crazy. He at least knew the business mindset to do it one-to-one, something like that. This could also have been an opportunity. This could have been the equivalent, and the future will probably look back at it as when WWE went up to the loading dock for WCW Nitro, and Eric Bischoff did not think to let them in. He says he didn't know, whatever it may be, but if they would have come in, a DX would have come in on live on Nitro, man, they could have just taken the 83 weeks, could have been, you know, 160 weeks if that door would have opened.
No.
Why not? No.
No.
Why not?
Because that right there, and Bischoff said he should have opened the door. Everybody was telling, I think Hall and Nash was telling him to open the door.
Yeah, Hall told him to open the door.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that would have, you wouldn't have had 83 weeks of dominance, because that showed balls, for lack of a better word. That showed balls from the WWE to do something like that, to approve something like that. That showed balls. That showed
It would have the balls would have been determined once the gate opened and you had a camera on the Nitro side and you're looking one-on-one. If DX did not come in to the arena, if they just stopped there and never entered the arena, then we saw who was dominant.
Right. They would have had to call. Yeah, they would have come in. They would have called.
That would have had to been crossed. And
right. They didn't have cleared that.
But Triple H said they were actually going to go in. It wasn't going to be
that now because the gate was closed.
Yeah,
right.
It wasn't going to be a fight like that, but you got to realize.
It wasn't going to be a fight, but because it was going to be Kevin Nash and it was going to be Kevin Nash and Scott Hall up front against his clique members.
And that's what I'm saying. But that would have made TV history.
Yeah, exactly. The first time it passed instead of the one that actually happened at the end of Nitro when WCW got bought out. Yeah. That would have been the first cast.
But
that would have broke the virgin internet back then.
That could have been so much different, and it could have worked out for both sides.
Yeah, it could have.
But a lot of people believe, now this is a conspiracy theory, a lot of people believe that the Monday Night Wars was manufactured between WCW, WWF at the time. That's why Hall and Nash went over to WCW. That's why Vince Russo went over to keep it going. And then, well, all of a sudden, hey, let's tank this thing and buy it up. We good. We to put our competition out.
The only thing I think that debunks that that conspiracy theory is Vince's ego. Because Vince would have had to have been okay with losing.
Mm.
Which, from, you know, looking at Vince's track record, I'm going to put every territory out of business, but then I'm going to let these guys beat me consistently to have a better product, to go live on Mondays, to do this, to do that, to start 5 minutes early, do all those things that, you know, change the foundation, to give guaranteed contracts, to do all that stuff. I'm going to let these guys beat me. And then that punk Eric Bischoff, I don't like. You know, the only thing that probably made Vince smile on the back end was when they ousted Ted Turner. That's when he knew he had a shot at, you know, long-term purchase potential. Because the moment he said, okay, Ted is out, AOL Time Warner is trying to make some power moves and figure this out, you know, word went to Vince. They don't even want this daggone wrestling thing on the network. I'll buy it. And that's probably how that seed was planted. I'll buy it. No matter what Eric Bischoff was doing, kind of like, you know, the back end stuff with TNT wanting WWE product on there while you have a wrestling product, you know, and Tony Khan all mad. How y'all going to have conversation with the WWE and wear your house brand? It's like, no, not really. We want those guys because they have CM Punk. You know, like, remember when you had CM Punk? Yeah, you let him go, didn't you? Because, you know, you were letting these other dummies tell you what to do. And now they off just taking a vacation, you know, freaking get well soon. But Kenny Omega is gone. So all your EVPs are not there. Oh, and Cody left. What more do you have to do? Kind of reminds me of when Eddie Guerrero and the Radicals left. Kind of not looking good, but it is the same network that everything went downhill. They're about to find out, and we'll gonna switch over to the Rumble picks in a second. They're about to find out what Paul Heyman found out from the Nashville network. Don't matter if you got good product or not, WWE comes in, you're gone. Period dot. So, speaking of being gone, something that has been absent from our show for what, maybe 3-4 months, has been that lovely championship belt that is in one of your homes, signifying that somebody was in 2023 a picks champion. Don't know where it is now.
Oh, but he hold on, time out. I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button. That's my apologies. I say this because I had to stop this because I can't display something that I possess, but I can't display it because I possess it.
What the hell?
Yes, I possess it, but it cannot make its way onto network TV because I'm not the champion at this current moment. Neither is the Nubian Sumo. You are good, sir.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure you knew to put me over.
Well, I walk right into the and Sumo just sitting there. He ain't even gonna say, "Hey, don't do it." Sumo just sitting right there, just like.
I was hoping I wouldn't have to say nothing. Oh man!
I just wanted to get put over.
He just got you hooked by the nose like this. I'm like, come on with it.
Come on. Almost there. Come on with it. There it is. So coming out of 2023, I appreciate you letting the world know that I am Le Champion. But now I have to defend my championship in, of course, the Royal Rumble. Why not? It's apropos. So the Royal Rumble, believe it or not, even though we are 7 days away, basically, it's still in flux. So the official card is not done because there's some things in play that is still being worked out. Like I said, the Seth Rollins thing is an unexpected wrench in the plans because that affects who can win the men's Royal Rumble, because who's not winning that is also tied in, has the potential to be tied into Seth freaking Rollins's championship opportunity at Mania, allegedly. So there's some things being worked out, but we're going to do picks for at least the general gist of what we can discuss at the moment. And then we'll just let it be at that. And then if other matches come up, we can decide if we're going to add those into our picks to make things work out properly. But for what we can book now and lay it down, that's what we will pick from. So the first match on the docket is going to be an easy one. That's not going anywhere. U.S. Championship, Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens. I'm going to go with KO because if Logan Paul beats KO, that's creating an interesting statement at this point. In my opinion, Logan Paul's outside the ring behavior is pretty close to what the heck are y'all doing. They've yelled at other people for doing similar things, you know, with the belt, you know, can't be naked with the belt and, you know, having it all these precarious positions, and now you're gambling it and betting people for the belt and, you know, just all kind of stuff. I understand he's getting the notoriety out there, but at the same time, you know, there's a little line, but, you know, what the hell are you doing? So I'm going KO. Sumo?
That's all a work. I'm going to Logan Paul.
Oh, wow. Okay, KG?
It's biased, but I'm going KO. Logan Paul has gotten better, but it's about time you let the real G's do what real G's do. So give me KO.
All right. So I'll ask the question. If you had to book, I'm not saying it's a match, this is just an independent question, but if you had to book Seth Rollins versus somebody for Mania, just curious, who would you have him face, KG?
CM Punk.
Okay. Sumo?
Same.
All right. I'm the same. I say that because, like I said, you know, Rumble implications, and we'll see where we go with this. So for the women's Royal Rumble match, here's who's declared so far. Bayley, Nia Jax, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair. You could be a genius or non-genius and know that we're probably going to see Jade Cargill in a Rumble just to get her name out there, keep the impression going. Oh, if they're feeling froggy on spending money, you could see Mercedes Moné.
Shout out to Jade Cargill, though. She's been training in the dungeon.
Yes, yeah, she's been putting some work in. And training out with other folks as well outside the dungeon. NXT, you know, she's been putting in some work. We could also see potentially AJ Lee, who was doing some just random training with CM Punk just to randomly train out of nowhere
on Twitter. Well, it's not like she hasn't been putting in any work herself, because she was on that show Heels for Stars. And yeah, she was taking bumps for that show. So it's not like she hasn't done any ring work lately. So
yeah, those are two different types of bumps.
Yeah, there are two different types of bumps, but still, she is getting ring work in.
Yeah, so
she's been getting ring work in for a while.
She could show up. So the question is, yep, that's another one. Yep, that's almost a lock, I would say, at this point. And then we'll have our returning nostalgia folks, whoever they may be, probably Michelle McCool again, since Undertaker's retired. Hopefully my girl, Molly Holly. Jacqueline has been asking for, hey, you know, I'm still good and I can put this work in. Let me go ahead and get some ring time. So she's been asking to be involved in some WWE action. We know we've got the NXT ladies that could show up. We'll see if, there could be some surprises. But for our pick purposes, you will just pick who you believe will win the Rumble. Like I said, just as a reminder, the ones that have declared is Bayley, Nia Jax, Becky Lynch, and Bianca. So, Sumo, I'll let you go first. I'll go second. KG will go third.
I'm going to go Nia.
Okay.
Hey, you know what?
We haven't heard any Nia beefs in a while. It's a new year. It's a new day. Yes, it is.
We ain't got time to get into this, but we're going to have ourselves a talk. I told you about touching my woman, man.
Hey.
Lay out his cookie jaw.
Hey, I'm cutting your grass this year, buddy. I got no problem cutting your grass this year.
I think I'm a heads up. Mowed at least 2 times a week.
Good for you this year, buddy.
Isn't that right, KG? Isn't it mowed about 2 times a week?
When it comes to night, it's a little bit more than that.
So who you got, KG?
Becky.
Ah. Okay. Well, this is going to be interesting because I'm going to go Bayley. Set up her and EO. So that could be very interesting to see how this ends up. But I think for the first time in quite some time, none of us unanimously picked Bianca Belair.
That's because she's going to come on later. Don't worry about it. She's going to come on.
She got a show anyway, so she's going to get some she's going to get some stuff going. Now we're going to do the same thing with the men's. So here's who's declared: Cody, CM Punk, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Lashley, and Drew McIntyre. Or anybody else that you believe will show up. But the men's, I'd say, is a lot more locked into the WWE than the women's for returning folks or anything, with the exception of maybe Uncle Howdy / Bo Dallas to introduce the Wyatt Six. Could be something. But outside of that, I don't foresee there being a lot of anything. So Cody, Punk, Nakamura, Lashley, Drew McIntyre. I'll go first. And
there's word that there may be an appearance by Okada, but he would have to get a permission from New Japan because it would be before the 31st. But I don't see why they wouldn't let him if he had the opportunity to be in the Rumble. I don't see how they would keep him away from that.
Yeah, we also could see Dwayne The Rock Johnson in the Royal Rumble just to be there. But if I had to go, I'm gonna go with Cody.
2 years in a row?
Yep. Just because if Seth is healthy and able to wrestle at Mania, he's got to go with Punk. They've already baked that story in. Got to get through this, finish the story thing. KG? So I pick Cody. Like I said, you got Cody, Punk, Nakamura, Lashley, Drew declared, or somebody else that you think could win from the men's allotment.
I got Punk.
Okay. Sumo?
I got Punk too.
The reluctance.
All right.
I was going to pick Punk, but I was thinking maybe you got to go with somebody else, but that was to be different from the two of y'all, but I just can't see anybody else. Those are the main two. So,
all right. So the last match that we can pick from that has been confirmed is going to be for the Universal Championship. Fatal 4-Way, Roman versus Randy versus LA Knight versus AJ Styles. KG, you got first pick on that one. Roman, Randy, LA Knight, or AJ?
You might as well go ahead and start yelling, ooh, ah, now, and go ahead and give it to Roman. They're not taking the belt off of him anytime soon.
I can smell something brewing here. Sumo?
Yeah, stir the pot.
Yep. So we just call this a unanimous decision that Roman Reigns, because, you know, he's got to be defending at Mania. And just for if people want to be like, why are they unified on this? It's the common sense. Roman's going to have a high profile match with the plausible deniability that, you know, it's a fatal four way. You're baking it in for him to have the opportunity to get a quick pin because you have three other people doing the hard work for you. It's going to be a scramble at the end. Next thing you know, Roman gets a spear, quick cover, 1, 2, 3, rolls out the ring, done. Simple as that, just because it's not a one-on-one. And then, you know, the last question, what the heck is Damian Priest going to cash this in and on who and how? Or Seth's injury technically could lead to Damian Priest cashing in. So, God dang it. Like I said, there's still things in flux, needless to say. So it's not even a question. It's just a matter of how they're going to play this out. I do not – we talk about Tony Khan not being able to book efficiently. That's a better problem to have, in my opinion, than the WWE with all these heavy hitters and you're trying to storybook this going through WrestleMania. And we've already thought it was going to be the Cody thing in Mania, but then CM Punk comes back and then you got an opportunity with The Rock. It's like, God dang. You know, how do you play this out to make it make sense and nobody is getting diminished? You know, and then we got LA Knight in the mix, who just homegrown, building himself up. Trick Williams, you know, is starting to come into his own. You know, there's other people that they're working on that's just, you know, flourishing. That's a good position to be in. Kind of like when I talked to you guys about, are we entering in a resurgence of the best time in wrestling, which is the Attitude Era. With all these pieces of the pie, going to be rather interesting. So I have to be the bearer of bad news. I know it sucks, even though we've been gone for a while. But you know how the network is. Them some bitches like to make sure that we don't go, you know, over in time. We don't have overtime. We got to shut everything down because they freaking say so, because, you know, it is what it is. So we have to be nice and say, first of all, to hell with you, network. Secondly, thanks for watching. We appreciate y'all because they told us we got to wrap this up, B. KG, any final thoughts?
Final thought. I need to say this before we go. Didn't get to it Thursday. Got to say it now. The Midnight Rider celebrated his birthday yesterday. So yep. Happy belated birthday to him.
That's right. Happy birthday.
We're going to get him again in the morning. But join us tomorrow morning. We'll recap the Ravens winning this evening. And as well, we'll recap the late game, 49ers versus the Packers. So we'll recap those and we'll preview the two games for tomorrow. So join us tomorrow morning, 11 a.m.
Sumo?
Just happy 2024 is here. Just ready to get this, have us have a great year this year. And hopefully things will move upward and onward for us, especially with this Fort Most whiskey on our back.
That's right. Get some of that.
Buy Fort Most.
Black French. Get that. We need to get paid. So just because I made the shit and I want to see it again, and we're going to wrap this up. We're going to go ahead and show our new opening crawl to include a nice-ass hype-up countdown. Until next week, we'll do the reaction show for the Royal Rumble. WrestleMania season officially begins next Saturday. So we look forward to being able to come and discuss who is the 2024 current champion. Make sure you have my belt for display next week for our picks. Until then, diversify your bonds.
Konnichiwa, beaches.